in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, the which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto thee, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. And the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again now, everyone, from his evil way, and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and an hissing, and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, and the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the winecup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink, and be moved, and be mad, because of the sword that I will send among them. Then I took the cup at the Lord's hand, and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me, to wit, Jerusalem, and the cities of Judah, and the kings thereof, and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation and an astonishment and hissing and a curse as it is this day. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants, and his princes, and all his people, and all the mingled people, and all the kings of the land of Uz, and all the kings of the land of the Philistines, and Ashkelon, and Aza, and Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, Edom, and Moab, and the children of Ammon, and all the kings of Tyrus, and all the kings of Zidon, and the kings of the isles which are beyond the sea, Dedan, and Timah, and Buz, and all that are in the utmost corners, and all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the desert, and all the kings of Zimri, and all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of the Medes, and all the kings of the north, far and near, with one another, and all the kingdoms of the world which are upon the face of the earth, and the king of Shishak shall drink after them. Therefore, thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Drink ye, and be drunken, and spew, and fall, and rise no more, because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thine hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall certainly drink. For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name, and should ye be utterly unpunished? Ye shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, The Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout, as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. Excuse me. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth, and the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. Howl, ye shepherds, and cry, and wallow yourselves in the ashes, ye principal of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions are accomplished, and ye shall fall like a pleasant vessel. And the shepherds shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherds and an howling of the principal of the flock shall be heard, for the Lord hath spoiled their pasture. And the peaceable habitations are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Lord. He hath forsaken his covert as the lion, for their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor and because of his fierce anger. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. It's a very, very interesting chapter. The first thing that I want you to notice about it is that Jeremiah, in putting together the prophecy that bears his name, deliberately wrote out of a chronological order. Remember that we have been hearing about King Zedekiah up until this point. In these last few chapters, in chapter 21, 22, 23, and 24, we hear about King Zedekiah. Now we hear in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah. That was the first year of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon. We've backed up the clock some 20 or so years. 15 years maybe. Here we have, you remember, Josiah, who gives birth to Jehoahaz, who gives birth to Jehoiakim, who gives birth to Jeconiah, Kaniah, or Jehoiakim, who gives birth finally then to Zedekiah. Right? And ladies, please, I didn't mean they literally gave birth. I meant they were their fathers. I don't want to discount what you contribute. Certainly, the Apostle Paul doesn't in 1 Corinthians 11. So we have then this very, very interesting thing that's going on here. He's going to go back in time. I think this is to say to the people of Israel exactly what he says here at the beginning. I've been preaching this, Jeremiah says, since the days of Josiah now for 23 years. This is the word that came in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, and it was an important year because that's the first year that Nebuchadnezzar came. The first time he did. So over and again then, we want to make sure that we emphasize this point. We want to do our introductory work because there are things we will miss if we don't know that. If we don't know the order of the kings in the Old Testament, especially as preachers and Bible expositors, we're not going to get that. We're going to move right on through it as if we never even heard it. But there is an emphasis that is being laid down here in this passage, and that emphasis has to do with this consistency of message. The Lord has been faithful in sending a prophet to the people of God for years. And doesn't this really then help us to understand the sin of Zedekiah a couple of chapters back when he said, "Oh, I know, let's call Jeremiah and have him prophesy. Surely he'll tell us that the Lord will act toward us according to his great mercies." When they have not yet turned away from the idols that Jeremiah has been calling out now since the days of Josiah. So it's a very it's subtle because of the way it's out of chronological order. In the next chapter, we're going to go back even farther to the first year of Jehoiakim. So very, very interesting there. I wanted to make sure that you heard that. For the sake of time, then, let me give you just an overview of the passage. This is really, really, I think, important to remember. Why is it that the whole world is being threatened here? What is the Lord's work that he's about to do? Why does he call on Jeremiah to, in some symbolic fashion — this isn't Jeremiah traveling to every nation and saying, "Here's the cup, drink it." It's some kind of symbolic fashion. We're not informed as exactly what the symbol was. Maybe he was to scrawl out a map on the ground and pour out of the cup on each of the countries. I don't know. I don't know what it was. But it was indicative of something. First of all, it is indicative of this: that it was for the sins of the people of Judah and Jerusalem that the Lord stirred up Babylon. In other words, here's what I'm going to say. Here's the thesis: that there is with God always a particular emphasis upon the church. The Lord — you know what Paul will say to the Corinthians? He says, "What do you guys have to do with what's going on outside the church? You should be calling people to account within the church." That's the first blush. Judgment begins, as Peter will say, at the house of God. And so you have this worldwide conflagration that's about to come up when Nebuchadnezzar is stirred up out of his borders. And he will go, are you ready, all the way to Egypt. In fact, when the people of God fled to Egypt, that's when the Lord says, "You fled to Egypt? I guess I'm just going to have to stir up Nebuchadnezzar and take him to Egypt too, so that he'll take Egypt like he's taken the rest of the ancient Near East." So that's the first thing we want to remember, is that when there are these great movements, world wars, that from the perspective of a Babylonian, a Mede, a Tyrian, an Ammonite, they're not going to rise up and say, "This is the Lord doing this." That's not their purview. They don't care. Secular historians write secular history books. But for the Lord, I guarantee you, it's all about the church. In one way or another, we may not have the equipment particularly to ascertain exactly what's going on, but I can guarantee you it's about his people, because that's how the Lord works. And so when the Lord would describe this judgment that comes, he doesn't say it's going to come from Babylon. He says, "You make Judah and Jerusalem to drink that cup first. They will drink that cup first. And then from there, we will ripple out." Now for mankind, for us, what do we call that? We call that — we have a euphemism for that, don't we? We say, "Oh, that's collateral damage." Right? We don't do surgical strikes in our military conflicts. We try, And that's always a just thing to do, to try. But we recognize also that what an army is built to do is break and kill things. And so what happens is, that's why you don't want to use it very often, number one, because it's built to break and kill. But when it goes forth and tries to do a surgical strike, there's always collateral damage because we're men. With God, there's never collateral damage. The wickedness of those nations brings them under the crosshairs of God, even while He is particularly prosecuting judgment, chastisement, and reformation upon His people through affliction. Boy, we got to remember that. What is this pandemic all about? I don't know exactly, but one thing I can tell you is that there's something that the church is particularly to learn from it. What were the world wars about? Secular historians will tell you about political movements and greed and avarice and the changing of borders and political spheres of influence and types, you know, polities of nations. And they'll talk about all those things, and all of those things have their place. But they're secondary. And they're always going to be secondary. And so the Lord says, judgment's going to begin with my people. You cause them to drink that cup first. Nebuchadnezzar is stirred up to conquer the world because Jerusalem needs reforming. And then the Lord will visit the wickedness of Babylon upon itself by raising up the Medes. Right? And this is indeed world history in a nutshell. That's how it works. That's the thesis behind it. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has promised that the knowledge of God will cover the face of the earth as the waters cover the face of the deep. And He knows exactly how to get that done. Well, we'll have to stop there. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.